When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Running it straight, and I've got to give you my Titans Warriors prediction before we go into round eight, Jello. So it's a little story for you, the way I see it playing out. I think a lot of emotion, Anzac Day, big build up. I think the Warriors come out, Dallin try in the first 5 to 10 minutes, early doors, crowds up on their feet, getting excited, getting loud. But then the Titans bounce back, two quick tries, maybe before the 15-minute mark, 10, 12, 6, they're leading. We're starting to get a bit nervous. But then second half, we come out, bench big impact.
This needs some background music. This needs like
put the gladiator music.
Some love music playing over the background.
No, the gladiator or Saving Private Ryan or
yes.
So. And I'm thinking end score 34 points to 10. That's my Warriors prediction. I think a big win.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'd subscribe to that magazine.
Steven Spielberg. Get in touch if you like SNZ. It's Kiwi for Sport. Right, what are the other games going on across round eight, the Anzac round? Well, the traditional Dragons Roosters game, which has always been a cracker no matter how the two sides are tracking. The Dragons are surprising people somewhat, Jello, sitting in ninth position at the moment on the ladder. Big win against the Warriors. They've beaten the Seagulls as well. They've had some heavy losses in there as well. I'm still juries out on the Dragons right now and the Roosters. But to be fair, they couldn't get a better opposition than the Roosters because the Roosters still trying to work out who they are in 2024. Yep, I had them as minor premiers once again. I'm just never going to do that again. I've done it for like the last 3 years. I'm never going to say the Roosters are going to be minor premiers again. They welcome back Sam Walker, so they got their seven back, which means Connor Watson jumps back to the interchange. The Dragons are basically unchanged, although I see Jack Bird is on the extended reserve, so he might come in if he passes fitness test, and that would mean Lomax goes back to the wing where he's been shining. So it is at Allianz, big game for them. There once again will be a lot of emotion involved. What do you reckon, Dragons Roosters?
Well, what's your thoughts on this? Because I know you're not convinced by the Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about them that you just think that?
Well, it's the inconsistency, right? So they lose to the Knights. I mean, that game was a water bath. They lost 38-0 to the Dolphins, and someone was saying to me that, oh, you know, it's because they had a gastro flu or something. But it's more...
I never heard that one. Was that
that's from Ken. I mean, he'll come up with any excuse.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to look at these sorts of teams. The Titans, they beat the Titans. They lost to the Knights, beat the Tigers. The two wins that is quote-unquote convincing anyone is Manly and the Warriors. In the Manly game, there were 30 errors in the game. Like, both teams were trying to lose that game. It was arguably the worst game Tom Trbojevic has ever played. I think he made 5 or 6 errors on his own.
Yeah.
And they barely won it. The game against us was really the big one. And don't get me wrong, that's fantastic and that's amazing. You bottle that up for sure. But I just don't think – this is the problem that fans have. And I was talking about it with someone yesterday. They brought up a great stat around where the Warriors – I think we were 5-5 through the first 10 rounds last year, the Warriors, sitting 5-5 before we went on our little run. The point was teams that make big changes, so teams that get rid of coaches or wholesale players coming in and out, or, you know, they finished poorly last year, can often come out really strong because they've got new thinking, new mindset. They come out of preseason, they want to implement the plans, they want to implement the new structure, and they can quite often sort of shock teams in the first maybe like 5 to 10 rounds. But then what this person was saying was, as you see the better teams, more experienced teams, start to work them out and start to find out how the structures, you know, the systems work, then the cream starts rising to the top. So for teams like the Dragons, there are teams that will surprise you. And I think probably for me this year, I mean, negatively, it's the Rabbitohs. I didn't see them sliding that much. But for me, sitting inside the top eight at the moment this year, for me, is probably the Dolphins. In terms of a team that actually is really playing well and looks like they should maybe be in the top eight.
Yeah.
But the teams to me that are a little bit pretending are the Raiders, the Dragons, and the Cowboys are sitting in eighth, and I don't think they're going to be the way that they're playing, they're going to be a top eight side.
Yeah.
My point in all of that is the Raiders, the Dragons, like, great start to the season. They've got to do it for another 20 weeks, right, with really quality teams. Like, the Warriors are outside of the top eight, and I think they're a top eight team, so they find their way in there, which means someone has to fall out. I really think the Bulldogs are starting to build nicely, so they could push in. And then, you know, you take your pick of sort of the Roosters, the Cowboys, and some of those teams that might find their way. And so, you know, that's my thinking around the Dragons, Jello.
Yeah, I know what you mean about that whole like when you have that little restart or that little refresh, it brings that new energy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it firsthand 2010. So I spent my under 20s days with the Roosters. So 2009, Cellar Dwellers, I think they picked up the wooden spoon mm-hmm. or second to last or something. The next year, same thing, they bring in Todd Carney. He has a Dally M year. They had Brian Smith, new coaches, when Fittler got chucked out. So they went from wooden spoon in 2009 to 2010 grand finalist. And a lot of people were kind of asking the same questions, like, no, you know, it's mainly the same roster. You know, they're going to burn out. But, you know, they ended up going all the way all the way to the final, I think.
But that's just, you just completely contradicting my point. You're saying the Dragons are going to go to the grand final.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I have seen that yes. that restart and that refresh last longer than a few rounds.
I get you.
But when you look at, this is one thing people don't realise, is so many injuries across the comp, like, you know, teams 5, 6, 7
yep.
players out.
Yeah.
The Dragons have nobody out. Like, yeah, they have got the least injured team.
Spot on. So
Jack Bird, he's got a head knock. He might be back for round 8. Luciano Leilua, calf, and Corey Allen with his knee. That's it. That's all their injuries.
Yep.
So they're playing with the full strength squad. I think if you look at the Warriors, you know, they missed guys like Morata.
They're one of the most decimated, yeah.
Yeah.
Dolphins as well.
Yeah, it's a big factor. And when teams do get their players back, you know, I think that's winners. When you do see teams like the Dragons and other teams, or the Pretenders, as we might call them, kind of drop off.
So do you, like, this is a big game sort of for both teams tomorrow night. And I legitimately could see the Dragons beating the Roosters. I'm not saying that I don't think they can do that. They've got the Sharks the next week, which I think will be probably their real test.
Mm.
But, yeah, the Roosters, who are just woeful at the moment.
Well, they're just as inconsistent.
So correct.
I compared them last week. I said, you know, Warriors were playing Dragons. Everyone had Warriors heavy favourites.
Mm.
I said, well, the Dragons are 3-3. So are the Roosters. The Roosters are 3-3, yet Roosters are up on this pedestal.
Yep.
And I think you always do kind of hold them in a high regard because they've got such a superstar lineup. But in my honest opinion, of the I think Roosters will get this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Anzac Day, it is a big occasion. I've been there for those games. I think Roosters get this one. I think it's a bit of a flogging 13+, just because the
Me
Dragons
too.
Are hot and cold, hot
yeah,
and cold.
I think
you know, Sam Walker's back, Dom Young is back. I think the Roosters, honestly though, I think they're a better team when they just have either Carey or Walker. And I've heard this before being said, that they are almost the same player.
They are very similar.
And when they're both there,
they're both small.
They're both small and they play side to side. You know, it's like they link up and just go side to side. The Roosters with Connor Watson at the six, like I said, you know, earlier, having that defensive six there, plus the forward pack that they have, that's a dangerous team.
Yeah, I just love Trent Robinson to give Tyrell May some more minutes on my fantasy team. But I agree with you, Jell. I think it could be a bit of a bloodbath
in
Sydney. So I'm picking the Roosters by a big amount.
Yeah,
Thursday night game. Fantastic, we get three games on Anzac Day. 9:50 kickoff, it is the Storm up against the Rabbitohs. Poor Bunnies, coming off a bye and a terrible start to 2024, have to come up against the Melbourne Storm, who sit in second position. The Rabbitohs bringing back Damien Cook after not playing him in that game just before the bye. They've got a couple others in there, like I know Jai Arrow's been named. I'm not sure if is he in the starting team. Oh, he's on the interchange, so he's in the 17, so it's good to have Jai Arrow back for them. And then outside of that, pretty much unchanged. I mean, Jai Gray's still in that number one jersey with no Latrell Mitchell. I don't know how long Jason Demetriou has, and I know we'll talk about coaches at the end of all this, but I don't know how long he really has, but it's like every game for the Rabbitohs at the moment is an important game. But I just don't think I can see them winning it.
It's
in Melbourne. And it's an Anzac Day. This could be the Warriors. This could be a 70-point drubbing.
Yeah. The Melbourne show up.
Mm-hmm.
They show up for that Anzac game.
Yeah.
Was it 0-9 for the Warriors in those Anzac tests?
Yep.
I played in one of them. It was an absolute massacre. I've got the Storm 13+. Interesting stat though, the 2014 Bunnies that went all the way started the season three losses, one win. And you look at this Souths team, you think, well, they've started the same. Could it be
you know,
a similar story?
No.
But you compare the lineups, and you forget how good that 2014 Souths team was.
Yeah,
like
correct.
They were big. They had size all over the park. Even their six, John Sutton, he was like a giant himself.
Yeah.
And you look at what size the Bunnies have. You got Totola, he's injured. Jai Arrow is back.
They had Adam Reynolds back then too.
They had who?
Adam Reynolds.
Yeah.
which I think is a game changer. What do you reckon when Latrell comes back? There's a lot of chat around keeping Jai Gray at fullback and putting Latrell into centres. Like, that's going to be a big, I guess, ego check for Latrell. But do you reckon he and Jason Demetro, that's the kind of move they'd be willing to make if it's not working?
I think it's needed. Like, I'll compare it to the 2014 Souths team again. Greg Inglis played fullback that year. The game has changed since then. Like, the rules have changed. You look at all the good fullbacks that are doing it, and they all run big meters. Chance does big meters. Dylan Edwards, big meters. Clint Gutherson. You know, these guys aren't big bodies. You know, they're built like they could run a marathon or something like that. Latrell's not that guy. He's not going to push up on every play. He's not going to play both sides of the field. He's not going to do a lot of things that I think need to be done in that fullback position. I think he's a lot better out on the edge. I think if you were to partner him up, put Jack White in at six, Latrell at centre, and then a winger outside that, that's danger.
That does sound dangerous to me. But I do think, yeah, tomorrow night's going to be tough for them. I'm going 13 plus. I borderline, that's the sort of game I might put a little same game multi on and go like Storm by 30. You know, I just think they could get really ugly. Looking across the first couple of games, it should theoretically be quite an easy round to tip. Seagulls, Eels. That's the Friday night game at 10 p.m. Seagulls, you know, just sort of keep doing what they do. With I've said it all along, you know, a fully fit Seagulls team will be a top four team. You know, Luke Brooks, Terry Evans, Tom Trbojevic, keep them all healthy, and they'll be in the running. I mean, Olakau'atu is just a beast at the moment in that second row. The Eels are a little bit desperate, and like I said, we'll talk about coaches. I think Brad Arthur's under a lot of pressure. The team, you know, you saw the comments of Dylan Brown after the loss to the Dolphins saying it was an embarrassment. It was an attitude thing. That's why they didn't show up in the second half. Guys not working, not wanting it enough, etc. They've got some big defensive issues. Big defensive issues, particularly on their edges. So, look, Seagulls, Eels, it's in at Four Pines in Sydney. Do you see the Eels, you know, getting up for this one on a Friday night, or
I think they do. I think Seagulls pump them, though, 13 plus. I've got another big score.
I think it could be like that this weekend,
Yeah, and it's funny because you might compare it to when these two teams met just a few rounds ago, you know, not that long ago, and Eels beat them. And Seagulls were going good. Everyone tipped the Seagulls to win that day. If you remember how that game went, I think they jumped out to a 14-0 start after as many minutes, the Seagulls. Then Mitch Moses went on a bloody rampage and he put, you know, two tries, scored a try himself, and then it's 16-14. And then, you know, they were able to, it was a real back-and-forth game, really scrappy. Eels end up winning that one. There's no Mitch Moses. You know, they've kind of changed things up again. So that Dejan Azzi, who had, you know, one good game, had a bad week last week, he's gone again.
Yeah.
So who was the...
They've got another debutant because they kept Blaise, and I don't understand this, like Blaise Talangi, who had that game in the centres, and I think he needs to be in there over Morgan Harper, because I thought defensively he's been just shocking the last 2 weeks, but they've decided to keep Blaise out of it. So instead they've got Ethan Sanders playing in the number six jersey, who I don't think has played an NRL game. I think it's going to be a debut. So, I mean, they're just cycling through halfbacks. And, you know, the thing, I take your point around Mitch Moses. I probably have undervalued, because I think Mitch Moses is a quality player, but undervalued how much of a difference he makes to the Eels, almost to the point of a Ponga Knight situation. Like, an Eels team without Mitchell Moses, you can almost put a line through them.
Yeah.
It's that big a deal.
I'll put one more. Fogarty Raiders. I think he will missed. I think he'll be missed more than Ponga will be missed by the Knights.
Well,
I think he'll be missed more.
So?
One injured player, he'll be missed by.
Oh, that's
his
probably
team
fair.
More.
That's probably fair. Although I'm putting a big line through the Knights as well, and I even think the Knights could slide potentially to 17th.
Ooh.
With no Ponga, but they'll be challenging the Titans. So you're going 13 plus for Seagulls.
Yeah.
Saturday 7:30 game, Tigers Broncos Campbelltown. And the Broncos know Ezra Mann, but they do welcome back Adam Reynolds. That's a massive plus for them. And outside of that, you know, all the usual cast with Walsh and Staggs and Arthurs and all them in the back line. And Payne Haas coming back as well. Billy Walters, Brennan Piacura back as well. So, I mean, cheap as that forward pack and the bench. Like, the bench for the Broncos, Willison, Hetherington, Fletcher Baker. That's imposing. So I like the Tigers. I didn't like the game on the weekend that they lost, but I've been liking against the Panthers, but I've been liking how they've been building, almost like the Bulldogs. I think they're starting to just get things a little bit right, better than they were last year. But I think Jello, I don't know, I just feel like it's another 13 plus on, you know, on Saturday night at 7:30.
Yeah,
well, I just don't see the Broncos losing their game.
I think, yeah, I think Tigers are building nicely, and you look at, like, yes, they got some young players that have stepped up, like Lockie Galvin and players like that. But you also look at how much experience they actually have, like how many guys have been to a grand final, you know, Ollum grand final, Brent Naden grand final. Is that his first game for the Tigers?
Brent Naden?
Yeah.
He played on the weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's played already. John Bateman, Coruscant. There's heaps of them that have been there and done it, you know, more than I'd say half the team. They are building nicely, and you watch them last week against Penrith. They went okay. They weren't.
I actually thought they played okay. Like, yeah, Penrith's just bad. Penrith, but
yeah, Penrith was Penrith.
And there was that moment as well, which could have turned the momentum of the game with Ollum getting ankle tapped.
Yeah, well, you look at the stats. I think they led the possession stats, so they were 53%. I think they completed over the 70s, but the balls that they did drop were all kind of the last pass or, you know, while they're on the attack, was all made down the right part of the field.
Mm. And the Penrith Panthers completed it like 90%, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, just Penrith being Penrith, man.
Yeah.
If I was to pick one upset of the round, I would say this is...
Really? Tigers, Broncos?
Well, a lot of them, you look at it, a lot of them, they look like one-way traffic a lot of these games are going to be. This possibly could be the upset of the round.
I sort of can feel you there. A little bit, although, like I said before, I can't see anything more than a Broncos one, but I sort of can.
Broncos don't play good away. Not this year. They haven't won an away game this year. Three away games have lost them all.
That's fair. I just think with Adam Reynolds, I think if they didn't have Reynolds, if they lost both Ezra Mam and Reynolds 100%, even just with Ezra, I think maybe they'd be able to, the Tigers be able to get up. But I just think with Reynolds, like, he'll just control that kicking game. He'll just control everything. And then the forward pack puts them in a good position. That's the key.
Yeah.
Payne Haas and Patrick Carrigan and Brendan Piakora and Jordan Rickey, they just put them in a good position.
Well, that's an interesting point you're raising. So you're saying even without Reynolds, there's still a chance of winning, playing a game. You look at all these other teams. So you look at the teams that are struggling. You look at the Eels. You look at the Raiders. You look at the Knights. One player goes missing, it's, oh, well, we tried. Like, how many teams are actually relying
there's only two teams to me that can do that, and that's Brisbane and Penrith.
Well, they've showed that with
Cleary. That's what I mean. They're only teams that have showed that they can do it without a star player.
So are you saying if SJ goes from the Warriors, no chance?
I wouldn't say no. If he got a season-ending injury, there's a part of me that wouldn't say, like, no chance.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd win it. I don't think they could win a comp without Sean. But I seriously think we would suffer big time with, like, borderline, would be on the verge of not making the top eight without Sean. Yeah. Like, he's that big of a piece. I think most teams really are in that position with a seven jello. Like, no clubs can really afford to have a backup seven that's, you know, that of that class. And I actually think, here's the ironic thing. I think the Eels are one of few teams. If I look at teams across the board, I think the Eels are one of few teams where Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses – And actually probably the Storm as well. Losing one, the other one on paper should be able to step up into that one's place, and then you can bring in a young guy underneath. Yeah. I just don't think Dylan Brown's sort of done that. But the Storm are the same, right, with Cam Munster and Jerome Hughes. If one of them was to go down, like let's say Cam Munster, Jerome Hughes takes on more responsibility. They put a young guy in the six, and I think that still works. Vice versa.
Well, you've seen Wishart. Hey, Wishart correct. Steps up when
so,
one of
so, them so, you know, but not many clubs have that ability, and especially with the Warriors without Luke Metcalf now, you'd be looking at what Tim Mighty and, geez, they probably have to put Dills there, right? Or Dills in the six and Tamati in the seven?
Yeah, well, I think that's what happened with the semi-final against Penrith last year.
Right, so and there's just no kicking game there. Anyway, so you can see an upset, but what does your head say?
Tigers 1-12.
Okay, I like it. Cowboys-Panthers, 9:35 on Saturday. It's in Townsville. The Panthers begin, obviously, getting Nathan Cleary back into the side. He hasn't played in, what is it, four rounds. And the Cowboys are sort of sliding, and I want to talk about Todd Payton later on, Jello. They're sliding big time. They give up points like it's going out of fashion, and they come up against the best team in the competition. So Townsville, Saturday night, is it the lucky break for the Cowboys or no dice?
Nah, they got to fix things defensively. I think if it was any other – team than Penrith, they might have a chance. They're quite similar to Brisbane, where they are just all out attack. Like, yep. If you look at the Broncos play statistically,
100%.
They'll lose so many departments, mm-hmm. but then just score from anywhere on the field at any time.
Yep.
Like, if you watch them against the who did the Broncos have last week? Sorry,
they had the Raiders on the weekend.
They had the Raiders. So yep. You look at that Raiders game. Raiders are winning every stat. Mm-hmm. They've won possession, territory, and the other team's 20, doing everything right. But then, you know, Reece Walsh gets half a gap and
yep.
See you later. There's
and those
six
three
points.
Bombs on Chevy Stewart. Ruined.
Oh, I'm going to get to those. But, this one, I think Penrith too good. Cowboys, they got too much to fix defensively, and that's not something you can fix in 1 week, I don't think.
It's been a real interesting slide from, you know, Coach of the Year 2 years ago, Todd Payton, top four side, to last year and then where they are sitting now. And I'm not saying it's over for the Cowboys, because I still think they can get on the verge of making the top eight, but right now they're not looking like a top four side at all, and they've got a lot of work to do, like you said. So we'll take Penrith in that one. On the Sunday, 2 games, 4 o'clock Dolphins Knights. I honestly just think it's as simple as this, Jello. Without Caelan Pong, you just draw a line through the Knights. I just think it's that simple. And the Dolphins, I mean, it was a remarkable turnaround for them. They've got so many players there. I'd say them, alongside the Warriors, are one of the most affected clubs in terms of injuries and the names that are injured. But boy, I mean, they got Trey Fuller to play at fullback, who wasn't even in their top 30 contracted players. They had to get an exemption from the NRL. But they go and put 40 points on the Eels. So I just think it's, you know, Caelan Pong is out. See you later. I think the Dolphins win that one.
They I'm just looking at the team here. So they got the Knights have David Armstrong
mm-hmm.
playing fullback. Do you know yep. much about him?
No, I think it was between him and young Will Price. David Armstrong, I think this is an NRL debut.
Well, I was just looking at the team list. They got the photos. He looks like Caelan Ponga. Maybe that's the tactic.
That's true. Put a bit of headgear on him.
Put a bit of headgear and yeah. he's
That's not bad.
Dolphins surprised me last week. I thought they were really going to struggle. So that Trey Fuller, the guy that played fullback,
yeah.
He made his debut last year against the Tigers, and mm-hmm. I think that might have been the only game he's played
yeah.
up until that game last week.
It was, yeah.
But, man, he just stepped up to the occasion. And he's you know, he's one of those guys you don't know if he's going to do it again, because you haven't seen enough of him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Dolphins in this one.
Close, though? I don't know. I feel like it's a fait accompli that the Dolphins will win. I don't know if it'll actually be a comprehensive win. I could see like a 24-12 or 24-16, like a little bit close, but not, but like a pretty decent showing from the Dolphins. But I mean, the Knights side is still good on paper. It's just what they've shown without Caelan Ponga in the past is that they can't win without him.
Yeah, and the Dolphins, they got a really strong defensive team, and I think that's what they base their team on, right? They're going to pick their team like typical Wayne Bennett team. We're going to pick the best defensive team and go from there.
Right, Sunday, final game, 6:05. Raiders, Sharks, Upper GIO Stadium, Canberra. If you didn't think that the Storm game was going to be an absolute riot, it could be Sharks, Raiders. And my thinking here, Jello, is, and poor Chevy Stewart, who's also in my fantasy team, who got peppered by bombs from Jock Madden, is going to be peppered from bombs by Nico Hines. No Braden Trindle. No Braden Trindle for the Sharks. So Daniel Atkinson coming. But to your point, what Jamal Fogarty does, and I think the Raiders are one of the better teams in the comp for meters, for run meters. So they get into good position anyway. But what Fogarty does, and it's similar to Sean, is the kicking game gets them out of trouble when they need to.
Yeah.
And it also forces the opposition to start, you know, very deep in their own end or, you know, under these high bombs. Without that, and how the Sharks have been playing recently, I would be scared if I was a Raiders fan with what's going to come on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, that kicking game, what it adds. So even if the Raiders have a average set and finish on halfway, he can drop that kick right on their head, and now he's got the other team in their 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Raiders are great defensively. I don't think they complement the kick as well as they could. If SJ was to not re-sign next year, I reckon Jamal Fogarty would fit perfectly into how the Warriors
Interesting.
Play now.
I was going to ask you about that, actually, towards the end. I'll circle back to that. But in terms of this,
You got to take the Sharks in plus. Like, it is a high school team. You take Fogarty out. Fogarty, if you take him out, the average age of the team drops to, like, 20.
Well, look, Kai Weeks, Ethan Strange and Chevy Stewart are all debutants to the NRL this year. Oh, Ethan Strange, I think, played a game last year.
Oh, but he's a veteran then.
Ethan Strange. Well, I'm just saying, it's just such a young...
Yeah.
It's just such a young back line.
And you got to... This disappointed me last week. So it's raining, pouring down. They keep putting those bombs up on Chevy Stewart. Yep. Each time the bomb went up, like, they were big kicks. They weren't little end over end. They were big kicks. Mm-hmm. Every single time, you look at both wingers for Canberra, they just stand there and watch. Like, no support.
Yeah.
Like, even the guy that's, that they're not going to kick down the short side. Yeah. You've got time to get back and help.
Yeah.
Nothing. And even when he might drop the ball, it rolls backwards. They're still nowhere to be found. They're not behind him, waiting for the crumbs. They're not in front of him to protect them. Nothing.
Yeah.
And you watch it when they do the replays and they show the wide-angle lens and they kick it and the wingers literally just, oh, good luck, man.
Yeah.
If that happened once, I'd be strike. Not if I was Chevy Stewart, but if I was one of the other players, a centre back row, I'd be into that winger. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
100%. Like, help him.
Yeah, and that's where you need that experience. And
it was like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, but credit to him. Like, came out in the second half. I think the story was that Ricky Stewart basically said at halftime, I want to find out if you're a first grader.
wingers don't help him. I want to see what he's made of. And help him.
To his credit, he came out. I mean, he ran directly at Hetherington, I think it was, and got absolutely turned over. But credit to the guy for the kahunas that he has. So, all right, so we're taking Sharks in a big one.
Yeah.
I think Sharks could, once again, be a bit of a bloodbath, bit of a cricket score.
Well, there's going to be a lot of points scored this weekend.
I think so. I think it's one of the easiest rounds to tip. Whether or not we get that 100% right, it's going to be very interesting. And you circle that Tigers-Broncos one as maybe the upset. I think maybe the Dolphins-Knights, even though I've gone really hard on the Knights not winning without Kalyn Ponga, something there. It's the NRL. Honestly, Jello, sometimes I just bet with my heart because, I just have absolutely no idea.
Well, every week, even if I look back at last week, it's like, man, the first, no one predicted the Dolphins doing that scoreline, on the Eels. Same with the Warriors game.
There's lots of good same-game multis to put together, I reckon, with try scorers and all sorts. Because I think there will be points. That's probably the big thing, right? There's going to be points. Before we talk about coaches and coaching pressure, just quickly, the news from the Warriors, the official news that Jack Cleary is going to sign the young junior over in Penrith. He's 17 years of age. He's signing a 3-year deal to come over to the club. And it's funny because you normally wouldn't really do a press release for like a junior player, but because it's the last name Cleary, here we are talking about it, Jello. Couple of reservations from me, and then I want to get your thoughts. 3-year deal. He's going to be 20, obviously, when he at the end of that contract, which is right on the cusp of sort of NRL debut level. Like, maybe if he's an absolute gun, you debut him at 18 or 19, but generally you're probably looking around that sort of 20 mark. So there's a part of me that's skeptical that he's going to come over, develop in their junior system, and then just head back to Penrith or head back somewhere else when he's 20 and first grade ready. There is also another part of me that wonders how much of, because obviously it's the last name, and how much of Nathan's development came because of Ivan and the Penrith system. Is Jet going to be the same in a completely different system, and is Jet just going to be the same period? I mean, obviously it's going to be very hard to match his brother, but that's, I guess, a couple of questions that I've got.
I think it's a bit of a gamble because this guy hasn't played against men before. He's played what, under 19s?
Under 17s.
Under 17s?
Yeah.
Oh,
he has played a little bit SG ball, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So SG ball's 19s now. You haven't seen how he goes against men. It's like buying a lotto ticket or a raffle ticket, Better odds than a lotto ticket, but you buy a raffle ticket and just think, who knows? Maybe this guy could be good. If Sean's got 1 year, 2 years left, maybe he slides in that time frame, that 3-year time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned before your little theory about it being part of the Fisher-Harris deal.
Yeah, I did wonder about that. If Ivan just said, hey, if you're going to take James, can you take my son, just develop him for a little bit, and then we'll take him back when he's ready?
Possibly.
Just saying.
Well, I didn't even know he existed until Monday when I was like, oh, Nathan Cleary has a brother.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
He's got a sister too, maybe NRLW in the future. Oh, I don't know.
Might be part of the same deal.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting. I guess we'll see.
It is exciting.
He's got a movie star name, eh? Jet Cleary.
Jet Cleary. 17 years old. 3 years to prove himself.
He looks like Keanu Reeves too.
He does, actually. He does, yeah. He's got it's a bit of a cross, like mullet type. Patrick Swayze.
John Wick thing going on.
John Wick, yeah, it's interesting. Right, that segues us into halfbacks and Sean Johnson, who debate around this week whether he's going to re-sign for next year. He said that he's talking to the club, they're working through it. I think he'll sign. I think he'll sign for one more year. Whether or not he lasts that long is another question, Jello. But if you're looking at even next year and the years beyond, you're going to need someone to replace Sean Johnson, and it's not going to be a Jet Cleary or someone in the junior system. You're going to have to get someone in until those players are first grade ready, almost like a James Maloney at Penrith those early days. On your radar? You mentioned Fogarty. Is there anyone else that might be on your radar that you think would fit the system, that would come away from whatever they're currently in and would work really well?
It's hard to get, like you said, it's not going to be a young guy, young up and comer. It's got to be.
Well, they want it. Yeah, they want experience.
It's got to be an established halfback. Those established halfbacks are so hard to get off contract.
Yeah,
and you look at how many there are. Like who is there really? Like, would you go Chad Townsend? Would you put him in that category?
Play the numbers game. There's 17 teams, and you're one of them. So there's 16 sevens. And of those 16, probably let's write off maybe four or five of them as not really fitting your target bill. So then there's 12 of them. And then, of the 12, you got to work out how many are on contract, off contract, or would be willing to move, and it's a small number. So I think they throw the kitchen sink at Jerome Hughes. And I actually said this before the news came out that he was thinking about going back to Queensland or going back to the Titans or whoever. He's off contract, I think, with the Storm at the end of 26.
Okay.
So you'd be able to negotiate him with at the end of next year, which means you might have to play 26 without him or with somebody else or whatever. But then from 26 you'd have him, which would be awesome. At that point he'd be a lot older, he'd be, 2-3 years older, but I just think he'd be the perfect fit. Kiwi, leader, good kicker, controls the game, good alongside a ball runner like Munster, Metcalf, whoever that is. And so I think he'd be a great one.
I think that's the best shout. And that's, like you say, 26, but, look at every other player that comes
correct,
over.
Correct, compassionate
early.
Consideration.
Yeah.
But I know his family's in Queensland, so that might not be a possibility. Jamal Fogarty, Chad Townsend, bringing him back. I think he's past it even in that regard as like an older statesman.
I think it'd be hard to get Fogarty. I know Raiders, especially Ricky.
He's got a club option as well, so the club can decide if they want to sign him or have him for another year.
Well, Ricky Stewart, he's all about loyalty, eh? So I remember when George Williams was at Canberra, when he even mentioned looking elsewhere, they were like, sweet, you're dropped. And
yeah,
don't play again. See you later.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think they really don't muck around at Canberra. It's like you're in or you're out.
I'm just looking.
You're not sitting on the fence or negotiating with other teams.
Yeah, Jamal Fogarty has a club option in 2026, so they could say, no, we want you to stay another year in 2026. So, it'll be interesting. I'll have to go through a big list and find out the sevens that are off contract. Right, just to finish, I want to talk about coaching pressure, Jello, because I feel like there's a couple that are under the real microscope, and we're still sort of, I guess, waiting in the shadows to see which coach is going to get the boot first.
Well, you thought someone would be gone by now.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I say round seven?
I think so. I think you said...
I thought I said round 10.
No, you said South's coach would be gone.
Demetrio. Oh, that's right. I thought he'd be gone on Monday after he lost that game. I don't know. He'll be gone. I guarantee you Demetrio's gone this season, Jello. Yeah. I'm probably more certain about that than anything. But let me throw a couple of names at you. What I want you to do is give me a scale of 1 to 10, how safe you think their job is currently, right? Between 1 and 10.
Okay.
Let's start from the bottom. Let's start with the Titans, Des Hasler. Des Hasler.
I think he's 6. I think he's safe.
You think he's relatively safe? First season?
Oh, you mean safe for this year?
Yeah, for this year.
Yeah, he's 6.
Just because it's his first year?
Yeah.
Even if they're winless through, say, 10 games?
Yeah, because I think he'll just blame the roster and be like, I've got to have time to implement my thing. So maybe even a 7. I'll bump him up to a 7.
Give him an extra point. Yeah. Right, Rabbitohs are next in line. Jason Demetriou.
1.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's gone, Skis. I think they've already got a coach lined up.
Yep.
I think Mal Meninga will take over, but I think it's a matter of when.
How quickly does it happen, do you reckon?
I don't think it'll happen this year. Yeah.
You reckon he'll last the season?
I think he'll last the season. I don't think Mal wants to walk in halfway through. I think he'll need the time to prepare and do it properly. He'll do it on his terms,
Okay, I want to throw this one out at you. Adam O'Brien at the Knights, and I know he signed a contract extension after last year, and he, Des might blame sort of roster Kalen Ponga being injured, but they're currently in 15th. I can see them sliding down a couple more places. I think they might even battle that 17th position. Is Adam O'Brien under any sort of pressure?
Not if he just signed the extension. I think if he was going to go, he'd be gone. the reason that they kept him on was because they can see something, or they respect that he's got a bigger plan than, you know, what's happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put him at a five.
This is a big one. Brad Arthur at the Eels.
Oh, I think he's coming to the end of his tether. I think they said he's a longer serving coach at a club at the moment. So I think it's been
current.
So I think it's been 10 years at the Eels, is that right?
I think so. It sounds right, yeah.
The grand final 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his peak with the Eels, and I think they're starting to see that now. If anything, since that grand final, they've gone backwards, not forwards.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So how long do you give him?
I'd say that 10 years, I think that might let him see the season out.
Trent Robinson and the Roosters.
I think he's safe, man.
You think so?
Yeah.
Just because of loyalty and Frank Panisi?
Yeah, I think
so. Is it Panisi? No, who's the...
Nick.
Politis. Sorry, yeah. Panisi's the Storm guy. Nick Politis.
Yeah, Nick Politis. I think what Robbo's done for the club, where they're at, because they're not in too bad a spot. I know they're not top of the table, but they're not in too bad a spot. I think he's an eight, I think.
Right, two more to finish. Weird one for, I think, people that are fans of this man, given what he did at the Warriors and the Coach of the Year 2 years ago, but Todd Payton.
Yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I feel like it's heavily reliant on the Cowboys' finish this year, so I don't think he'll go this year. Mm. But I think if the club looks at a team that, say, finishes in like 11th or 12th, if they're just on the verge of the eight and he can convince them that, hey, over the next couple of years we've got the plan in place to bring guys through or whatever, but if he finishes 11th or 12th now, he's gone from making the top four to them two seasons outside of the top eight. And I would just be and how they're losing as well, Jello, is the big thing, right? They're losing big time. Some of these games, they're just leaking points left and right. I just think there'll be questions asked. So I'd probably still give him like a six. I'll give him over the 50%. But I think the question will be asked if they keep losing.
Yeah, I think you'd say that because they have such a strong roster. Mm. Like, you look at their team, they're good, man. Like, they're spending big money on that team.
Yep.
So you want to see results. I'm not too sure who he's got around. I know Justin Morgan went there from the Warriors last year, so he's over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure what some of these coaches are like, because I know sometimes it's like, okay, I'm the head coach, I'll look after attack. I'm the captain now. It could be a setup where, if he's got a defensive coach, attacking, they're awesome. Defensively, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So you might see a defensive coach get scapegoated and be like, well, you know.
Well, look, Justin Morgan got a lot of flack defensively when he was here as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys fans are turning on him. The last one I want to throw at you is Ricky Stewart at the Raiders, because I think now without Jamal Fogarty, and look, whether he uses that excuse or not, but I think they slide. And it's just, you know, Ricky Stewart's been such a lifelong coach of that side, and they made a grand final a couple of years ago. But I just think at some point, if you're Canberra, if you're part of that management, you do just have to wonder if a fresh voice is going to turn that club around. Like, how happy are you with just making a grand final every 10 years versus being a consistent challenger?
I think the biggest issue for them is roster. They won't look at the coach as being the issue. If they had a better team on paper, I think Ricky Stewart would do a lot more. I think at the moment he's getting the best out of a struggling roster.
Mm.
And I think if you were to bring in another coach, I don't think they would do as good a job as Ricky Stewart.
Mm. No, that's fair. All right, Jello. Well, I've kept you far too long. It's been awesome to go through all the round eight games and some of the other big issues around the NRL. Always so much to talk about, which is what makes the sport and the league so fantastic. We will do it all again next Wednesday. This is a little extended edition for you if you're listening on the podcast channels. We'll do it all again next Wednesday, 2 o'clock, here on SENZ. Running It Straight. We'll catch you then.